Well, good morning, 3CI. Welcome back to another series on Rockstar. Today we're going to end the book of 1 Peter, and next week we'll start on 2 Peter. So it's great to be with you. I was actually watching this guy preach last week myself, and very weird to sit with your family and the preacher says, good morning, 3CI, and then you actually preach to yourself, and you wonder if you can learn anything from yourself. So as I was watching myself preaching, about Peter on the boat, standing up after a very long night. And on this side, the Bible says, was the rising sun. On this side was the risen sun. And I had an epiphany. I had a sort of a moment when I was teaching myself what was happening there. And I realized that one of the things that happens at a fireplace, one of the things that happens at night is that we develop shadows because of fire, because of moon, because of sun. We develop shadows in our life. And one of the things about Peter is that he developed shadows in his life. He had some things that he was embarrassed about. He had a very strong personality. So his shadow was quite imposing to live within. And I realized there must have been a moment, a split second, where the rising sun cast his shadow towards Jesus. But as he walked towards Jesus, the risen sun, it would have pushed his shadow back to him. So there must have been a moment in Peter's life where he had absolutely no shadow. God had dealt with everything in Peter's past. God had dealt with every one of his disqualifications and failures. God had dealt with his personality. And for a moment, Peter was shadowless. And I think it would be amazing if we come through this book and the things that haunt us and the things that define us and the things that scare us and the things that disqualify us would actually, because of Jesus, would actually come to the place where we have no shadow. Then it says a very interesting thing in Acts chapter 5. I think it's verse 15. It says, when Peter was walking, they were putting their sick in the street so that even his shadow would touch them and heal them. So Peter became so enamored with Jesus, he became so full of Christ, that not just him and his words, but his shadow actually healed people. And I remember this with my dad. He's a very big person, and people say, what's it like to be in your dad's shadow? And I thought, no, it was incredible to be in my dad's shadow, because when I was in my dad's shadow, it meant I was close enough to him to actually be healed and to be influenced by him. And so what Peter's actually saying is we should get ourselves healed from our bad shadows so that we can start to throw good shadows out. And people should not be hurt by our shadows, but rather healed by shadows. I don't want my children to live in the hurt of my shadows. I want my children to be close enough to my shadow, close enough to my presence, that they get healed by everything that God has for me. So this is what Peter's writing to us. God deals with our shadows. He does something in our heart, and our shadows start blessing people. So we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says this, I read out of the NIV 84, and it's a very wonderful text in this version. But I'm actually going to ask you to prepare the sermon today. I'm going to read, and I'm going to show you how a dumb guy like me prepares sermons. And then we're going to actually, for 5 minutes, we're actually going to stop so that whether you're by yourself in your home, or you're lying in bed, or you're with your family in a TV room, that you can actually, as a family, prepare a sermon. This is how we do it. Whenever we read a text, we ask ourselves the first question, how does God present himself in this text? The second question we ask is, what does God do for us in this text? And the third question we should ask is, what should my response be to this text? So we're going to find 3 names of Jesus in this text. We're going to find about 4 things that he does for us and about 5 things that you need to do. But you're going to prepare the sermon. So it says, to the elders among you, so now he's writing to the leadership in the church. What it actually says in the Greek is therefore. So again, sorry to be repeating, but when we see therefore, we ask what it's there for and what has God be for. So he's actually linking the end of chapter 4 and chapter 5. So we're going to actually start in chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit, that word will be highlighted, commit themselves to their faithful Creator, the first name of God, Creator, and continue to do good. Therefore, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Let me remind you again, Christians, whenever there's suffering, there's always glory. It's the way the whole Bible works. When there's suffering, there's glory. Be shepherds of God's flock, not my flock, God's flock, that is under your care, there's another C, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd, the next C, chief shepherd, the second name of God, the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown, another C, of glory that will never fade away. Young men. So he's writing to the old men and he's writing to the young men. It's just the different makeup of the church. We keep saying young and old, rich and poor, black and white. It's just a picture of writing to diverse groups of people. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. There's another C. Clothe yourselves. I'm a dad of many teenagers and millennials or Gen Zs or whatever you want to call them. And they come out of their rooms and they say, how do I look, Dad? And I think you look absolutely amazing. That outfit is awesome. We're going to church and I get in the car and reverse out and they all disappear. And they come out 2 minutes later with completely different clothes on. You think, what happened? It's just, I don't know. I don't know how it works, but the Bible says, if you want to put clothes on, clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I had a friend who went, invited a man into his church. Church was doing really well. Church was flying. Everything was going extremely well. The church was growing. The finances were flowing, everything was happening, and he had a guy come and speak in his church. And at the end of it, he said to the guy, so tell me, what's God doing here? What's God saying to us? Are there any things opposing us? And he said, yes, God is opposing you. He said, but what do you mean? He said, well, the Bible says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He says, you've taken all this growth and all this money and all this energy, and you've taken credit for it. He says, when you do that, God will oppose you. God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast, the next C, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Another C. Be self-controlled and alert. Another C, controlled. Friends, the church is meant to be free and you meant to be under your self-control. We switch those around. We actually start controlling in the church and people end up living completely uncontrolled lives. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you, another C, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, another C, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Great Greek word. To him be the kratos forever and ever. It doesn't matter what you're going through. To him be the kratos, the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, always working in team, whom I regard as a faithful brother, relational, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. We started this series by saying Peter was falling everywhere. He writes us a book and he says, this is how you must stand. We, friends, as Christians in COVID, in this economy, at this time, with this government, in our marriages and our businesses, must learn how to stand in this grace. She who is in Babylon, meaning Rome, chosen, another C, chosen. I had a friend whose daughter's just been chosen for medicine. He's phoned everybody. My daughter has been chosen for medicine. You and I have been chosen. Together with you sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. The last C, friends, Christ. The last word in the book of Peter is Christ. And so we're going to just let a display come on the screen with all the C's. We're going to give you 5 minutes as families, or if you're by yourself, just to prepare a sermon around these things, to meditate on the three aspects of God: Creator, Chief Shepherd, Christ. Just think about those things as you put all the other words into perspective. In Jesus' name, we'll be back now. Okay, so that was just a little bit of fun, but it's just one of the ways on how to open the Word of God. You take these words and you put them all together. I just want to speak a little bit about leadership, particularly in the church. Because so much of church leadership has been stolen from the world system. So you get titles like CEO, Chief Executive Officer, CFO, Chief Financial Officer, COO, Chief Operating Officer. Friends, the church, the top position in the church is CS, Chief Shepherd. The leadership system in the church is diametrically opposed to the way of the world. It doesn't work like the world system. And when you come into the church, you hear this over and over again: you need leadership training, you need leadership training, you need leadership training. Friends, the qualification of a leader in the church is simply this: do you love God and do you love His people? I got given a Bible by Andrew Shipley. It's been sitting on my desk, and then somebody came and opened it. And it's a lady who got saved, and she did a kind of a survey of the whole Bible, and she illustrated it with all that gold filigree, and she read the whole of 1 Peter. And she wrote she drew a diagram or a picture, a painting of how the whole of 1 Peter fits into one picture. And she basically summarizes the whole of 1 Peter into a golden picture of a group of sheep in a safe place. Friends, this is how church leadership is meant to be. This is what you should expect from church leadership. Number one, every elder should be under the chief shepherd. And if you want to understand this, you can go and study Psalm 23. You can study Ezekiel 34. You can study John chapter 10. This is what John chapter 10 says. It says, the thief, the devil, comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. Then it says this: the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Friends, we have a distortion in the church which says you must lay down your life for the vision of the elders. You must sacrifice your vision for the lead elder. It's not biblical. The biblical understanding of church leadership is that the elders are under the chief shepherd, and the chief shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and the elders too must lay down their lives for the sheep. So there are words here like under and over. And when we hear things like under and over, the first thing we think about is domination and manipulation and intimidation. This is what the Bible says: you are under, not the control of the elders, the care of the elders. The elders are over you, serving you, not taking advantage of you, not ripping you off, serving you. And it says they must not be greedy for money. Friends, when I joined the ministry, one of my friends took me aside and he said this to me. He said, Rory, never enrich yourself from the church. Friends, I've seen businesses operating. I've seen churches operating. The leadership in the church exists for the benefit of the people. The people do not exist for the benefit of the leaders. And the moment that any organization, when the leader takes more out of the organization than he puts in, the organization will fail. And the way the world system works is, I want maximum output with whatever input I can give, but I want maximum output. The way the church works, what Jesus is saying, I want maximum input into the church. I want you to lay down your life for the people, but don't rip them off. Don't be greedy for what they've got. Just serve them. Care for them. I trust, friends, because this environment, what he says in 1 Peter 4, it says times are tough. People are suffering. I pray with us as an eldership team, with the shepherds that are over you. It says set an example with prayer, with care, with the preparation of the word, with generosity, with humility. Horrible to preach on humility. None of us are humble. But I pray, friends, that you would find this a safe environment. It's a tough time in South Africa right now. Our government are making some serious decisions. It's hard to submit and to support some of the decisions. But I trust, friends, when you listen to us, when you wake up in the morning, you know that there are a group of shepherds under the chief shepherd that are praying for you and caring for you. You know, friends, we've got a Goliath that we're facing right now. But if you read the story of David and Goliath, when God called a king, all David's brothers lined up and Samuel said, God said to Samuel, it's not this one. The guy's tending the sheep. God wanted somebody who knew how to shepherd sheep to come and be the king of his people. He brings David out. We make this mistake. We always say to people, we must face our Goliath, the thing that we fear the most. But if you read the story of David and Goliath, David has got zero fear. There is no place in that story where David ever shows fear. And David is Christ. And Christ, the type of Christ, went out onto the battlefield and he said, you cannot defy the armies of God. The person in charge of our organization is not a CEO. He's not a CFO. He's the CS. He's the chief shepherd. He is not scared of Goliath. He's not scared of COVID. He is not scared of the economy. He is not scared of the future. And he says, I will shepherd you and lay down my life for you. And I'm going to raise up a group of men and women that will do exactly the same so that my people are looked after and taken care of. And I pray, friends, that at this time, as difficult as it is, I pray that you will come under the protection and care of the shepherds of this church. I pray that. I pray every day for that. We pray together as an eldership. We cry out to God that you will be okay, that in this pasture, you will be safe. The second thing that I want to speak about is the Creator. And it goes on and says this. It says, and the God of all grace, in verse 10, who called you to the eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The Creator, you just have to go and read Genesis 1 and 2, is the God who makes something out of nothing. It's the God who brings order into chaos. It's the God who restores when everything has been annihilated. And friends, at this time, I'm committing you, your family, your finances, your relationships, your future to the faithful Creator while you continue to do good. And some of you know this story, but I had an antique dining room table that was gone from my grandpa to my dad to me. And I went overseas and somebody looked after our house and they put a 2 kg lasagna straight out of the oven. They put it on the antique table and it was completely and utterly burnt. And when my dad picked me up from the airport, I could see he was really agitated. And I said to my mum, what's wrong? She said, well, you see when you get home. And when we got home, we saw this antique table, I don't know, 100 years old, just with this absolute burn mark on one side and ice cream markers. So there was a heat mark one side and a cold mark on the other. And my dad said, but look what's happened. I said, Dad, it's not my fault. I mean, the guy's looking after my house. He said, well, you should have chosen someone who could look after your house properly. But I went into the Yellow Pages and there's just pages and pages of restorers. And I remember getting a hold of a restorer and I got him and I said, can you restore my table? He says, this is what I do. And he brought that table back in a better condition than it ever was. God the Creator can take our chaos and bring order. God the Creator can take our nothingness and make it into something. God the Creator can take my burntness, whether it's burnt from heat or burnt from cold, and restore me completely. We are committing ourselves, friends, to the chief shepherd and to the Creator at this time. And finally, before we finally close, I've got a few minutes. This scripture says, it seems to imply two sins, pride and anxiety. It says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety. Say all your anxiety. Anxiety is a sin because he cares. So be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Friends, I don't know if you've ever been in an open space with a roaring lion. I was camping in Botswana with school friends, and we had to keep hourly vigils at the fire. And we were at a place called Number 4 Bridge in Botswana. And I remember the lion started circling us. And myself and my friend Dave James built a bigger and bigger fire. And the lion started roaring and circling us. And then our duty came to an end. And we woke up our next two mates, Daryl Lupton and Derek Crooks, the Springbok cricketer. We woke them up and said, listen guys, we're going to bed, but there are lions everywhere, roaring everywhere. And we got into our tent, and within the first minute, the lions roared, and they jumped into the Land Rover and spent the rest of the night in the Land Rover. The enemy is roaring like a lion. It says, be self-controlled and alert. How does the enemy get into us, friends? Two ways, pride and anxiety. At a time like this, pride and anxiety. Pride says, I'm too important, I don't need God, or I need to work for his approval, or I'm not important enough for God to take notice of me. Pride. Pride. Put on humility, deal with your pride, be self-controlled, and don't let the enemy have access to you. The second thing, friends, and many of you are suffering from anxiety. Anxiety comes because you do not trust God for your future. He is the chief shepherd. He is the creator. He is the Christ. Today, deal with anxiety. God has got us perfectly in the palm of his hand. It doesn't matter what chaos is around you. It doesn't matter what destruction is around you. It doesn't matter if some of the oldest things in your life, like that antique table, have been destroyed. Anxiety will not grip my heart because the enemy is roaring, waiting to devour me. Because if anxiety grips my heart, I'm gone. It says, cast all your fears onto Christ, all your anxiety. It's not a continual, it's not every day. It's a once-off act. Cast all your anxiety unto Christ. And finally, friends, I want to finish with the last word that it speaks from 1 Peter chapter 5. It says this, peace to all of you who are in Christ. Now, we don't have time to look there, but maybe we can put it up on the screen on my right-hand side. In Matthew chapter 17, and I think it's verse 25, somewhere around there, it says, Peter walked into the house. Peter walked into the house, and it says this, Jesus was the first to speak. In the book of Peter, it starts by Jesus telling us what we are. So Jesus is the first to speak, and Jesus, or Christ, is the last word of Peter. And so what we have in Peter is a bracket, friends, and in the middle, we've got all the stuff, unfair government decisions, unfair employment decisions, marriages that are taking strain, unjust suffering. We've got all of that, but bracketed, we've got Jesus is the first to speak and Christ is the final word. You can take any book in the Bible. Take the Psalms. It says this in Psalm chapter 1. Those who plant themselves in the law of God is like a man who's planted at a river. He will never fade or spoil. Never. The leaves will never fade. He will always produce fruit. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise him with the harp and the lyre and the tambourine. Victory, victory. In the middle, you've got this incredibly difficult journey of ups and downs. Where are you, God? Can you hear me, God? Why is my enemy succeeding over me, God? Why are you not coming through for me, God? We've got this amazing thing. But the brackets, are brackets of success. Friends, Peter starts with Christ and Peter ends with Christ. And in the middle is a difficult journey. You and I are going through a difficult journey right now. We entrust ourselves to the Creator who can make something out of nothing. We trust ourselves to the Creator who can bring order into chaos. We trust ourselves to the Creator who after a little while will restore all things, strengthen us, and make us steadfast. We trust ourselves to the Chief Shepherd, not the CEO, not the CFO, the Chief Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for our souls, and we trust ourselves to Christ. And I tell you, friends, the shadows that have plagued us, there will be a moment when between the rising sun and the risen sun, the shadow will stop. And then you and I will become the healing that this nation needs at this time. God bless you, 3CI. Amen.